PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, your co-host, not my co-host. Well, my co-host, he's all of our co-hosts. I share this co-host with all of you. He is Drew Sakagwa. Drew.
What up, dude?
I don't know why I stumbled over that one.
Yes.
You know what it is?
What is it?
Everything's different in here. That's why not everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, over by you.
Things are changing.
Yeah.
More evolution inside the studio.
It happens.
Yeah. It's looking good, dude.
Have a fair time.
Yeah, we got the Pacino and Scorsese's more prominent.
Yeah.
Mad Max is right here. Mm-hmm. Look at that Jodorowsky's dude.
Right over the shoulder, up in your face.
Right up in my face. Right where I like it.
Good stuff. There's a whole bunch of stuff you like over by you, actually.
Well, technically, it's all stuff I like.
Well, yeah, but I mean, some stuff that you like.
Like especially. Like the Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. And the Astounding She-Monster. I'm all about that She-Monster. That's the name of my new Loveline style podcast.
The Attack of the 50-Foot She-Monster?
Yeah. No, I Love She-Monsters.
Oh, I Love She-Monsters?
Either or.
Or Death by Snoo Snoo.
Oh, yeah. Is that copywritten?
Probably.
God, drama. Guys, I'm not restarting any of this. It's all staying in. Welcome to the Spillover Bonus episode. We're talking movie news, and I got a bunch of stories to talk about. We're going to jump right into it right now with, you know how I do, Drew, with them Terminator updates.
Yeah. How much love?
I'm going to try this random button and see how it works.
It's not going to.
I like to update people on that Terminator, so here we go. Latest Terminator news. Let's catch everyone up first. James Cameron, he's getting them rights back officially, I think. I think he gets them officially in 2019, but he's already, with that knowledge, knowing that it's coming already, he's working on it now.
Sweet.
They got a director. It's Tim Miller, the guy who directed Deadpool.
Yeah.
And they got a bunch of writers that are all big pedigree blockbuster writers that wrote their share of hits and misses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because it's just, you know.
Yeah,
that's the type of thing you're doing. Confirmed already. We said on the show, Schwarzenegger coming back.
Yes.
Also confirmed coming back now, Sarah Hamilton.
Ooh.
Linda Hamilton. Sarah Connor.
Sarah Connor, Linda Hamilton.
Why not? I mean, it's the same person. If it wasn't for Sarah Connor, no one would know who Linda Hamilton was.
That is correct.
I mean, what other movie did she do besides Terminator and Terminator 2?
I can't name one.
I feel like I should name one more. That I could be able to. I don't even think Cameron put her in the Abyss.
No.
And they were a couple at that time. Mm. Right?
I'm sure.
Right.
I don't know.
And she surely has worked.
I'm sure she has.
She hasn't been sitting around waiting for War of Terminator gigs.
What has she been doing?
Working in things we haven't been watching.
Awesome. Good for her.
So, this is... James Cameron was at a some sort of private event. It was a private function at Paramount.
Okay.
And he said, as meaningful as she, Linda Hamilton, was to gender and action stars everywhere back then, it's going to make a huge statement to have that seasoned warrior that she's become returned. There are 50-year-old, 60-year-old guys out there killing bad guys, but there isn't an example of that for women.
What about Helen Mirren? How many years kill motherfuckers left and right in these movies?
In Red, she got to kill some people in Red. Yeah. Yeah, she could be killing more people. Yeah, you know, I applaud the white dudes for doing their part. They got to do their part, but sometimes they don't always get it right. The white ladies, too.
Yeah.
There's a streak of white feminism that's really weird.
It's strange.
Is there a bug going on where you just...
No, I'm just looking.
Okay.
Because
I had to kill a bug.
I'm rearranging.
No, it's good stuff, man, as well.
They're all different.
We'll make sure there's a picture on there. People can see the pictures on Instagram, Cinema Crespediso, of the new section of wall. Or check out Drew's Instagram. No, just check out Drew's Instagram, at AntiHero419. He'll take the pictures and put them up.
No, I won't.
That's my co-producer that I love. Also, it looks like they're going to be skipping Terminator Genesis and not skipping, but ignoring the events of Rise of the Machines, Genesis, and Salvation. They're like, fuck those movies, forget them.
I'm okay with that.
We're doing a direct sequel to Judgment Day.
That's fine. James Cameron can have his movies.
And he can have his movies.
It's the James Cameron Terminator.
And a while ago, they said something about how they came up with an idea for a story that's a trilogy, because all movies have to be trilogies now.
Okay.
But it's the it's a reboot, but it's a prequel, it's a sequel. He threw every word into the kitchen sink and blended it up, and said, this is what this movie's going to be.
I mean, time travel, so...
Time travel, exactly. So what they're doing is these characters are showing up in a sort of now what is common older character passing the torch sort of way to younger characters who will then be continuing the story of the Terminator. So maybe they'll be moving away from the whole Connor family.
Who knows? We'll see.
And then come up with a whole new thing that actually works.
I would hope so.
We will see. They've been working on that Akira live action movie forever.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like Watchmen.
It is kind of like Watchmen.
They said it couldn't be done until somebody did it.
We'll be talking more about Watchmen later. Akira, most recently offered to Jordan Peele after the success of Get Out.
And
he said, no, thanks.
Good for him.
He said, it's too big of a project. I have an idea for a smaller project I want to do first. Before he came on, who was it? Do I have a name here? At one point, in the most recent iteration of the live-action Akira at Warner Brothers, had actually moved the movie from Tokyo to America, to New York. Yeah. And instead of Neo-Tokyo, it was Neo-Manhattan, and they were wide-defined the whole thing.
No, not fun. Not cool.
Now, the movie apparently rumored, has been offered... This is based on tremendous buzz for his movie coming out later this year, as well as his password. Taika Waititi.
Please, dear God. Please.
Oh, that's not a good sign. Random button, you know, like that one.
That would be amazing.
Wouldn't it be the Taika Waititi Akira version?
Taika Waititi's Akira? Yes.
That'd be wild.
I would love to see that.
And also, you would think then that an indigenous person, he's a Maori, or at least half Maori, I believe. Yeah. He's already fighting for the rights of minority people in terms of representation in entertainment and media. He would be like, this has to be Japanese characters. It's Kaneda and you know, Tetsuo. It's gotta be... Back in Japan, right?
Yeah,
you would,
yeah.
Quote, respect the source material?
Correct.
You would hope so.
I would hope so.
Think so.
Or even, maybe even, I mean, you could make it like, the main people could be Japanese. Or even change it up. Throw some black dudes in there. Throw some white people in there. Throw some...
Make it a future, like, not homogenized. No, what's the other? Like a melting pot... type of thing. I mean, isn't that the point of Neo Tokyo too? It's sort of,
I mean, yeah,
a lot of the world's been fucked up, and a lot of people have gone mm-hmm. there, like immigrants wise there should be a decent amount of
there should
them.
Be but yeah, yes, so I mean the main characters need to be Asian.
They should be Asian. Sorry. She would take place in Tokyo. It's a very Asian story. I mean, it's all, they're the only country in the world to have two of their cities wiped off the map thanks to nuclear warfare or atomic warfare at the very least, and their art is informed by that directly, and then to try to change 100%. It and do things, it's insane, right? So, but Taika Waititi, that's an interesting choice.
That would be awesome.
Interesting choice. Apparently, again, with the rumors, it's possible that Matthew Vaughn has been meeting with some peoples, again at Warner Brothers, to work on Man of Steel 2. Matthew Vaughn, he already has made the Kick-Ass and Kingsman. Now it's a Mark Miller graphic novel movies, kind of flipping around comic book conventions. Wants to make a very straight-up Superman movie, apparently.
Interesting.
That's what he says. I got a quote here from him. He says, weirdly, if I did do Superman, and I made the mistake of telling someone yesterday I have spoken about it, and then wallop, I think my main take would be, it's really boring, but make a Superman film. I just don't feel a proper Superman. I think Donner did it to perfection for that time. Just doing the modern. I want to do a modern version of the Donner version. Go back to the source material. For me, Superman is color. Feel good heroic. He's a beacon of light and darkness. And that's what I think Superman should be. Now, go back and reread that whole quote. But do it with an English accent. That's me. That's Matthew Bum right there. I'm interested in the Englishman's take on Superman.
I think it'd be fun. I mean, it might actually be a interesting Superman movie.
It could be. But then again, Bryan Singer was saying the exact same thing when he was making his Superman Returns, a direct sequel to the Richard Donner Superman movies. Even used the same music, the same costume choices. And then, inexplicably, another Lex Luthor land scheme.
Yeah, no shit, right?
And the worst one of all of them. Blowing up California and turning Arizona into beachfront property was a better idea than his later idea to use kryptonite to make rocky islands in the middle of nowhere that are completely uninhabitable.
Correct.
And then somehow sell that as real estate?
Of sorts.
Gross. And by that, I mean that idea and not that cough. That's a little boozy. More rumors. This is rumored pack. Packed with rumors. Like sardines. Like stinky sardines in a can of shit.
Gross.
Let's wade through these rumors and talk about Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Yep. Why? Oh, gadget!
The world famous Beverly Hills Cop theme song right there, right on cue, thanks to the random button. That's amazing. So amazing. Why, Drew? Because why not? They've been trying to revitalize Beverly Hills Cop in different ways, with Eddie Murphy attached each time. The closest they came was they had that pilot that they did. You know how Amazon does a bunch of pilots every year now, and people essentially vote online which one they like. They did a pilot, ended up on Amazon, didn't make it through that process. None of the networks wanted to buy it. It died. That one, Eddie Murphy had been promoted to captain of the Detroit department that he's from. And his son works there as a cop. And he has to go to Beverly Hills or whatever for whatever. It's a reboot sort of thing with a younger version. But in a TV show version. Never happened. Now we're looking at Beverly Hills Cop 4, in which it looks like maybe what might be happening here is, first off, the directors are these guys. Adil El Arbi and Bilal Falah.
Okay. Never heard of these dudes.
A couple of Middle Eastern Arabian dudes. And then, of course, this terrible article doesn't cite what these guys have done before. Anyway, it would feature Eddie Murphy returning as Axel Foley, but as a he transfers to Beverly Hills. He had transferred to Beverly Hills at this point. And he's actually a Beverly Hills. He is literally a Beverly Hills cop at this point. And he has to go back to Detroit to investigate something in Detroit. So he's going back home to a place that he's left behind. And there he has to partner up with a Detroit cop who's like the tougher dude, who's the version that he was 20 years ago, right?
Okay.
So it's kind of flipping things a bit, which I actually think is kind of a smart idea.
Yeah.
If you're going to go this route, if you're going to insist on fucking this dead horse, I think you may have found an interesting way to fuck it.
Yeah. Yeah, right? At least, yeah.
Is that how the metaphor works?
I'm still waiting for them to reboot the Escape series so I can get the Escape from Cleveland prequel.
Yes. It should be. You start with Escape from Cleveland.
Yeah.
As your lead into your Escape from New York, what you do is now you do this sneaky thing where you reveal the full title at the end of your film. So you just call it Escape. Which is already the name of a movie. And it's a guy who loses his eye during it, and then he gains a nickname Snake, and then you find out at the end of the movie his name is Plissken, that's his last name.
Yeah.
And then he leaves Cleveland, and he's like, where are you going? I'm going to New York.
Well, no, he's not going to New York. He leaves.
Oh, he does leave because he gets arrested and gets sent to New York. Anyway, they got to make some reference to New York somehow. We got to work it in there. And then the title almost says Escape, but it's like off center for some reason. And then it fades in from Cleveland. It's like, oh, shit. I had no idea. They got me at the very last second. It's such a stupid trope.
It is. I've done it a couple times. Sounds good. I like it.
All right, I'll cut that part out. We'll mail it to ourselves and make sure. And then that's it. Copyright things now. Another rumor of the Beverly... Well, this is the actual rumored part of Beverly Hills Cop. For the villain, the person that they have to track down in the movie, they are looking at two actors. One, Channing Tatum. And the other, Tom Hardy.
I mean, why?
Why not? Why not for either one?
I mean, but why?
I feel like they'd both give us different approaches to that villain. You wouldn't want to see Tom Hardy in a Beverly Hills Cop movie.
Okay, well, if they went
with... Maybe he'd get to wear a mask.
If they went with Tom Hardy, they would have to go a little more serious and not so funny.
Go back and look at... They can have a tone that's similar to Beverly Hills Cop 2, which is a Tony Scott movie.
Yeah.
That's an action movie with jokes.
No, you see...
Tom Hardy could have been in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Yes, so if they make another Beverly Hills Cop 2 type of situation, then yes, Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy could not have been in Beverly Hills Cop 3.
No.
Channing Tatum's in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Exactly.
But I still...
You see where I'm going?
I do see where you're going, but I do kind of feel like both of them could have been in the first one.
Sure.
Because the first one still had a good, like, the bad guy was still a good bad guy. I can't remember the guy's name, but it's a dude with a weird thing on his head, and he was in the James Bond movies.
Yeah.
He was one of the Blofelds. I think that's right. Also, Ehrmantraut, Mike Ehrmantraut. Mm-hmm. What's his name? He was a young, weird-looking bad guy.
Yes, he was.
They could have. It's weird, but anyway. I'd see that movie. Mother! Exclamation point.
Ah!
And all that hate.
Sure.
Got that F cinema score.
Good for them.
I went on my cinema score, ran at episode 245, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone asked Aronofsky about the reaction. Here's his quote. I think I knew it was going to be a lot of stuff. Anytime you do something that aggressive, there are going to be people who enjoy it, who want to be on that roller coaster ride, and then there are others who say, oh no, that was not for me, it's a strange one. You see Jennifer Lawrence, Javier Bardem, Ed Harris, Michelle Pfeiffer, and people are conditioned for a certain type of movie, and we didn't do that type of movie. Laughs. It's all good. I don't mind people are upset by the film because it's supposed to be a reflection and a cautionary tale of what's happening to the planet, end quote.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Correct. We went over all of that in our spoiler-filled bonus episode.
But that's from Aronofsky's mouth.
Yeah, awesome. So we got...
To Entertainment Weekly's ears.
We got it, Chris.
I'm just making sure it wasn't something else in this one. No, because so that's his direct quote on that. And yeah, that's what we expected. And that's what he expected.
Mm-hmm.
Someone asked Jennifer Lawrence pretty much the same thing. She did a whole interview. A couple interesting quotes in here. Blah, 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 blah. Are you surprised at all by how divided people are? No, not at all. The people who love it, and want to see it another time. The people who don't like it, absolutely despise it. She says, there is no middle ground. We knew that it was divided. That's what's so exciting. Everybody is going to feel something. It's going to create a conversation. It's going to create a controversy. Nobody is going to leave not getting something from it. I think that last part's not true. Some people left not getting anything from it.
Yes, correct.
But
some people were just like, this movie's garbage.
Yeah. Calls Aronofsky the most controversial director of our time.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Yeah. Maybe mainstream director.
I was about
to
say, yeah.
But Fincher, really, he really found a way to subvert the system. But Aronofsky, let me see, there's like, talking about making the script, blah, blah, blah. Oh, this is funny. The question is, I do think there's a couple different interpretations you can take from just the interviewer. Even when you do know, I kept joking that it's just like a really dark version of The Giving Tree, Jennifer Lawrence. Are you kidding? Darren gave me that book. That was one of our references. She is The Giving Tree.
I mean, you said it yourself.
So.
She is The Giving Tree.
So we're smart.
We are.
And other people are dumb.
We got it.
And then there's other things in here. You know what? I remember this from also article reminded me. It's not. Oh, yeah. She says here, was there a point in your rehearsal process where you realized just how intense an experience that would be? The scene I'm talking about, she references the hardest scene in the movie that she was asked that she had to do once again because it was out of focus, and that she said it was like a terrible place to ask anyone to go to. It was like a scene she pretty much sounds like she hated having to do. Mm-hmm. She didn't say what it was out of spoilery purposes, but I have a feeling she's talking about the scene. Spoiler alert for people who haven't seen Mother. I don't know what they should do. The scene where they're... The communion scene.
Sure. Okay.
The Eucharist.
Yes. I get it.
Her reaction to the Eucharist, I think. Yeah, that's fine. People, go see that fucking movie. She says, the scene I'm talking about, which is probably pretty annoying for people, blah, 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 for even months before in the rehearsal process, I had to listen to Lemonade by Beyonce while I blocked the movements I would do so they could prepare the camera. I had to listen to Beyonce just in the rehearsal, just being in the room to prepare for the shot months in advance. She was listening to Beyonce. This reminds me, I did remember reading an article a while ago about how she was working on a movie that was so intense. It had to have been this one. Where she had to have set up a little tent, like her little safe space.
Yeah.
The J-Law safe space, mm-hmm. which it's ridiculous. The only thing I remember from it is a little tent and a bunch of pictures of like puppies and whatever and kittens or babies, whatever makes her happy. And then there's a TV in there that had Keeping Up with the Kardashians playing on a loop. So she could go in there and just be like, woosah. So I hate the Kardashians and everything they stand for, and that kind of in that way of the celebrity culture. But if it helped Jennifer Lawrence get through making this movie, then God bless her. Which article? I guess I didn't pull it. So there was one article that pointed out how so Mother cinema score of an F.
Yeah,
and. That's when the people outside the theater ask you what you think of the movie. And, of course, everyone walking in the movie like, it sucked, blah, blah, blah. F score. Notorious F score.
Yeah.
That article lists a couple other movies that had cinema F scores. People hating as they walk out of the theaters. Killing Them Softly.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite movies.
That movie's great. I got it.
Steven Soderbergh's Solaris.
Which was a lot. I never got a chance to see it in theaters, but I was fine. I liked watching it at home.
And so that's why I watched Pulitzer. It was one more. There were three movies. I was like, I love all these movies. I love them.
Yeah.
And and Mother is not one of them.
Awesome.
So it's pretty interesting. And one more movie story and then a couple quick TV stories and then we're out. You may have heard of this one. Jamie Lee Curtis for sure coming back for Halloween.
Yes.
All right. To recap for everyone, the new Halloween movie released by Universal Pictures but being produced by Blumhouse. If you're watching a horror film, you see that BH House logo come up. It's in a room, right? It's a corner of a room.
Yeah.
There's a light swinging, and every time I see BH, you go, I go, now this one deserves a.
My bunghole, it goes. And then sometimes my bunghole goes.
I think that every time I see that.
Does it now?
Yeah, it's pretty much. So, they're producing it. Universal is releasing it because they own the rights to it. John Carpenter's producing it like he does all these remakes, at least as executive producer, because that's how you cash some checks.
Uh-huh.
No word yet on whether Blumhouse has convinced him to put down the weed and the video game controller long enough to actually score the thing.
I don't know about that.
He loves weed and basketball and video games.
Good for him.
Yeah,
so do I.
Yeah, it is good for him.
He's an old man.
No, he loves basketball, though.
That's fine.
Like, now he's at a point where he schedules all his shit around the Lakers season.
Good for him.
Yeah, for real.
Maybe he plays the basketball video game, too.
Probably. He may. He may. Mm-hmm. He very well may. Movie year, slated for October 19, 2018. So it's a year away.
Okay.
And we talked about this before, but it's one of those things. This is kind of like now I'm trying to make myself remember this now for sure. It's a lot like the last time I read that Guy Ritchie was directing Aladdin.
Yeah.
And it was at least the third time that I had read that, and it kept blowing my mind. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, Guy Ritchie's Aladdin.
It's happening more and more lately. These days, no stabs are getting stronger. I'm getting older, man. Mm-hmm. It's
it's a wild world.
It's a confluence of events. I know we've reported on this before, and I keep forgetting that this is the way they're making it. Danny McBride. Co-writing it with David Gordon Green, who's also directing it. David Gordon Green and Danny McBride's Halloween with Jamie Lee Curtis is coming back, coming out 10/19/18. Or possibly amazing? Or possibly terrible. I mean, even Halloween 2 is inferior to Halloween, and it's still a John Carpenter movie.
I mean, how about this?
Did he just produce that one? He might just produce that one.
I'll definitely have to check it out.
Yes, I will be seeing. I will be making a point of seeing David Gordon Green's Halloween, co-written by Danny McBride.
Yeah, good, bad, or ugly.
Fatality.
No, good, bad, or ugly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. We mentioned Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened. It's happening, Drew.
That is.
Damon Lindelof, made famous by working on Lost with J.J. Abrams. He has since he wrote Prometheus, and he wrote a handful of other things, and he's worked on some things, some good, some bad. Most recently, working on The Leftovers, which is now done on HBO. And since he was working on a show with HBO, that one's over. It would make sense that this is who this is for now. We reported this in the past that it was in the works, but Damon Lindelof put on Twitter, no, Instagram, day one, and it looks like a picture of a writer's table, and could you place that prop? I couldn't place it right away. I had to read the article for it, but it's for people who don't know. It's a picture of the bottom of a trophy, 2 feet, and it says Ingratitude, the engraving. It's apparently that's Ingratitude is what's engraved on. Is there a picture of it here? No, of course they wouldn't have a picture. What would do? That would be helpful. Of Night Owl, the award given to Night Owl, the original Night Owl, played by Stephen McCaddy in the movie, who gets an award when he gets home. Or no, it's on his mantle, and then when those top knots break into his house, they kill him with it. And he put it on his he has it, or he has one of them, a model of it. Put it on his table, took a picture of it, wrote day one. So he is currently working on a Watchmen series.
Interesting.
I just hope it's 12 episodes.
What do you think? Watchmen as a limited series, or do you think it's going to, they're doing the before Watchmen stuff?
Oh, no. No. Nope. I don't want that.
Some sort of side story.
I want 2 seasons, 6 episodes. First season ends in issue 6, which is Rorschach gets arrested. Perfect ending. Mm-hmm. Seven picks up with him in prison. Psychoanalysis, we learn of him, right? Dr. Manhattan origin is in 4. Ozymandias origin is 7, I think, also. That's perfect. They knew what they were doing when they wrote the goddamn thing.
Yeah, I mean, it is written by Alan Moore.
And they do have the things that are written inside the pages, too. They could be using that to expand to possibly add episodes, which is like, could they? I don't know. It's Lindelof. He's got a mixed track record. But again, then again, you saw that picture. There's like 8 other chairs around that table. He's not writing this thing by himself. That's the thing. No one's writing anything by themselves, unless you're like Aaron Sorkin, I guess, or Quentin Tarantino.
Or Darren Aronofsky.
He locks himself in a room for a weekend, apparently, and then writes one of the most controversial movies in fucking years. God damn it.
Crazy asshole.
Wish I had that power to just be like, look at this art. Everyone loses their... people are losing their minds. And then there are so many people out there, like, generally smart people, who are losing their minds over it in hatred, and they're not seeing it. They can't step outside of themselves for a second and see how absurd it is that they hate it so much for such... because it offends them? I don't even know. And no one can give me any argument outside of, like, I just don't like it.
Okay, sure.
Okay, sure. That holds up. That argument really holds up. So watch what's happening.
Okay.
Watch what's happening. Channel Zero. No End House. Excuse me. Channel Zero : No hyphen End House. Mm-hmm. Debuts in 1 hour and 8 minutes.
God damn it.
I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm so excited. Candle Cove was great. Only 6 episodes. This article does not say how long it is, but the creator of the show, Nick Antosca, has a quote here about... pretty much why he's making his movies, what he finds scary, etc., etc. He says, it was really important to us, both in the first season and this season, to not just be a horror show about jump scares and gratuitous moments and jolts. I feel like that's a real jab at, like, Glee and American Horror Story and stuff like that.
Well, both of those written by the same guy.
Yeah, they are, Ryan Murphy. But to be about real psychological horror, and the most disturbing thing to us as human beings is... Loss. And both Candle Cove and No End House, they're very different in many ways, but thematically they're cousins because they both deal with a main character who has suffered a powerful loss and is trying to come to terms with it, figure out how to deal with it, and in one case, run away from it, in another case, cling to it. So, there he goes. And he goes on to say later, it just so happened that the show got greenlit as I was in the aftermath of something that happened in my life. That was something I needed to deal with, and the first 2 installments of Channel Zero, I realized in retrospect, were kind of working through a catharsis.
There you go.
So, There you go. The type of guy who's not looking for jolts and jump scares or ridiculous in-your-face horror, but instead more psychological type stuff.
The type of stuff I like.
John Carroll Lynch is in it. Zodiac himself.
Zodiac, yes! Awesome, yes!
Come on, man. That was first season had Paul Schneider, which is great. That guy's a great actor. Also from when I say he's from the David Gordon Green, Danny McBride school, I don't mean that in a general sense of like region and time. Together. They all literally were classmates, and they made movies together back in the day. And it's interesting how all their career paths have diverged in different ways. And he was great. Paul Schneider was great. Last story, Drew. Gwyneth Paltrow, more than just a pretty face. Or an actress.
She's also a crazy person.
Also a bit of a crazy person. who would have thunk it? Apparently Brad Pitt. Goop is her company.
Yeah.
Right? Only a crazy person names her company, Goop. And
her products don't do anything.
And her products don't do anything. Well, some of them do stuff. Like, she has some products that are like just moisturizers and shit. Yeah, sure. It's getting moist when you put this lotion on it. All right, I believe that. Soap. I get soap. But it's also a marketplace, so people can like upload stuff. And she got in trouble with that recently with, I forgot what it was. Oh, someone claimed that their product had like NASA brand or NASA style fibers in it or something, and NASA themselves were like, we don't know what that is. We don't use that stuff. Stop using it. Stop saying it's NASA. And then Gwyneth Paltrow was like, oh shit, and Goop had to take that down.
Yeah.
They didn't post it. They didn't even know about it. It may have just happened again. Unless this article doesn't go too into it. It's possible it may have happened again. I'm giving Gwyneth Paltrow the benefit of the doubt. On Goop, now you can buy Psychic Vampire Repellent.
Sweet.
Yes, Psychic Vampire Repellent.
Psychic Vampires.
It's a protein mist that promises to banish bad vibes and will shield you from the people who may be causing them. Ingredients include sonically tuned water.
So they put a speaker next to it.
And they play some Sade. No, Gyrospire. Rose water. Sea salt, rosemary, juniper, lavender, rueberry, bloodstone, moonlight, and love.
Bloodstone, moonlight.
And love.
I want to know where I can get me some bloodstone moonlight.
No, those are two different things. Bloodstone, comma, moonlight, comma. Although bloodstone moonlight, that's pretty good too.
Yeah.
That's the name of my prog rock band. That's the name of my Rush cover band.
Bloodstone Moonlight. I like it.
Bloodstone Moonlight. A related product is Chill Child Kid Calming Mist, which you can, quote, spray into the air around your wild child's aura to restore peace to the environment. Both products run for $30 for a 3.4-ounce bottle. Let's get some.
No.
Let's get some Chill Child.
I mean,
and just chill out, bro.
Is there Valium in it?
No, there is, as I said, sonically tuned water, rose water, sea salt, rosemary, juniper, lavender, ruby, bloodstone. It probably is the exact same stuff. Yeah, I mean, it says it's it's probably the same thing, right?
That's ridiculous.
Fucking Goop. So stupid. Oh, there's also the Moonlight Catalyst, an anti-aging serum with fermented pumpkin enzymes and ashwagandha dietary supplement, which promotes immune health and sexual vitality.
None of that stuff does any of those things.
You can never go wrong with the old slap on some sexual vitality on on your pitch. And
everything makes you
look lengthier, girthier, thicker, longer.
Good for guys.
Good for guys. And for women, too.
Makes you wet like an otter's pocket. Oh,
what makes you wet like downtown Miami during Hurricane Irma?
Hi-yo.
A recent event.
That's how this works.
Is that how this works? Is this thing on? Hello? Check one, two.
All right.
So sound two.
You ready to end on a low note?
Yes.
Smoke weed every day.
Hey, I mean, random.
Not a problem.
The random one worked once. I'm out of stories. Drew, where can people find you on those webs?
At Antihero 419 on them webs.
You're not gonna take any pictures of this and put them on the Antihero for the Instagrams?
If I was gonna do that, I would have done that at the beginning so you could have seen the progression, and as you can see, I never did.
I took some pictures. I've taken pictures over time.
Well, maybe you need to make some more pictures though.
Oh, no, you got the lens. True, the lens is broken. True, the lens is broken.
I know. I can't think. You can use my phone one day. I don't want people to know that. Then don't whisper it and release it on the podcast.
But I need you to hear it.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. You can take some pictures later.
God damn it. God damn it. I don't want to hold your phone while you're getting random titty pictures.
I don't want you to hold my phone either.
Yeah.
That's a bad idea.
I'm trying to take a picture and all of a sudden, random titty picture.
You need to get...
From your fans.
You need to fix your phone.
From your crazy fans. I need time. I gotta go. It's still under warranty and I have insurance protection on it. I just gotta go to the store. With what time, Drew? With what time? I'm too busy with all this important podcasting. All this material right now that I'm
right
doing.
Right now you should be at
this
the
Sprint store. This is so important right now.
You should be at the Sprint store right now.
Aren't they closed at 9 o'clock?
Should have been at the Sprint store an hour ago.
God, no, I was making dinner an hour ago.
2 hours ago.
No, I was running.
Yeah, you have to cut something out one day.
I can't, man. God, the schedule got so fucked up last week, and I'm trying to get back into it. The phone, Drew, the phone. And then my car today, I went in to start at one point, I went, and then it started. I was like, ah.
Well, I mean, it is. I was going to say, it's almost Christmas.
Terrible.
Awful.
God damn it. This is not a good episode. Well, we tried our best, guys. We'll be back with something better this weekend. Hopefully... Out of here.
A PFT Media production.